You're listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
Who has their Bible this morning? Raise it high. Raise it high. Okay. You're going to use it, okay? You're going to use your Bible. Like I've been saying the last few weeks, you're going to get bored if you don't use your Bible, okay? I don't want you to be bored in here. I want you to be engaged and in tune with what is going on. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are in the book of Ephesians. We have been just walking through, literally journeying through, walking through the entire book of Ephesians, and we are beginning chapter 5 this morning. We have just finished the first four chapters. We have two chapters to go, and we've been walking through this since January, and just been great. We are a Bible-believing church. We are a biblical church. We preach God's Word, and we are expository in our preaching, which means we keep things in the context, and we walk through the whole Scripture, which you know, here's what's hard about that is you don't have a choice. You can't just stop and go, okay, let's move on to John next week. No, next week, man, we got to talk about sexual immorality and impurity, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be kind of hard, but we've got to go there. That's what's next. And then down the road in chapter 5, we get to talk about wives and husbands and children and just some exciting stuff. But we are starting chapter 5 this morning, and I want to ask you a question. Have you guys ever been intimidated by something or someone? Anyone? Raise your hand if you have. Okay. All right. You've been intimidated by something or someone. Someone intimidated you at work or maybe in your family or maybe there was a project or something you had to do that was intimidating. When I was in junior high, I started playing the sport of tennis. Okay. Don't make fun of me. I love tennis. I still play it today, and I think it's a great, great sport, but I started playing this sport. Now, I grew up in Choctaw, and let me tell you, Choctaw was not known for their tennis players, okay? It was not really a tennis town. And so here I was, this young seventh grader, the young seventh and eighth grader, beginning the sport, loving the sport. And what I began to realize is when I started playing tournaments, is I realized that tennis was really this kind of rich man's sport. It was what they call a country club sport. Tennis and golf, a country club sport. So, I mean, if you play tennis, usually you're a member of a country club. And so, when I first started playing tournaments, I was really intimidated by the players, the kids, the teenagers that I was playing against. Because here I was, I drove up to these country clubs to play tournaments, and these kids that I was going to play were getting out of their Mercedes-Benzes and their BMWs, and they got out and they had 16 rackets that they were carrying. You know, I had my one racket that I worked all summer painting people's houses to get. And here I was, kind of out of my element, not a country club kid playing a country club sport. And what I realized is I was intimidated before I ever even got on the court. I thought those guys were just so much better. They had their private coaches. They were going to beat me. And I was intimidated before I even walked on the court. And what I realized is as I played and as I got better at my sport, I realized that that stuff didn't really matter. It didn't matter. My uncle, who was a great tennis player, who taught me, I mean, he would go out and beat me with a wooden racket. And he said, you got to get over this racket stuff. Just learn how to play the game. But I was, you know, as a young kid, I was intimidated by what other people had, by the money that they had, by the resources that they had. And I was beaten before I even got on the court until I began to realize that that had nothing to do with what I was doing on the court. And so I tie this into these first five words of chapter 5, okay? Sometimes we can be intimidated even by God's word, okay? And what do I mean by that? Now, there are Bible verses that comfort us. There are Bible verses that encourage us. There are Bible verses that convict us. There are Bible verses and passages that give us wisdom and direction. But sometimes we read a passage or we read a verse from the standpoint of our broken, sinful life, and we say, how in the world can I do this? How in the world can I do this? These first five words, therefore, be imitators of God. You want me, God, to be an imitator of you, perfect, holy, creator of the universe. And here's the problem. Jesus said it in an even more difficult way in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5:48. Look at these words up here that Jesus said. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus comes along to these Pharisees and these scribes and these Jews, and he says, you know what? You follow all your rules, but I want you to be perfect. I want you to be perfect, just as God is perfect. So I began to imagine having this face-to-face conversation with Jesus and myself talking to him, and he is like he was there, and it was is as if I was saying, okay, Jesus, you want me to be perfect. There's no way. I can't get through 6 hours of the day being perfect, yet I am supposed to be perfect. I am supposed to imitate God, the creator of the universe, be just like him. And Jesus calmly looks at me and says, yes, Chris, you are. You are to be perfect. You are to be holy. You are to be an imitator of a holy God. And I come back to him and I'm, you know, trying not to sin in my anger. And I say, but I can't do this, Jesus. I can't do this. And what does Jesus say to me? He says this, good. Now you're catching on. You, Chris, can't do this. But I, Jesus, can do it in you. I will send the helper. I am with you. It is me in you. You need me. You can't accomplish this. You, Chris, as a person, as a sinful, broken person, cannot be holy without me, Christ. And I think back to the Sermon on the Mount, and I think, what a tough, tough sermon. And do you remember going through that as a church? That was one of the first huge long passages of scripture that we went through as a church. And I remember thinking, why was this so tough? Why did Jesus preach to the Jews and Pharisees to be perfect in every area of their life? Why did Jesus take his message beyond the law, which they were trying to follow? Because he wanted them to finally see that they couldn't do it on their own. They couldn't do it on their own. He made the law even tougher because he wanted their heart. The Pharisees were saying, well, we're following all these laws. And he says, "Not, that's not good enough. That's not even good enough. You even think a mean thought about someone, it's as if you're murdering them. You even think a lustful thought about a woman, it's as if you've committed adultery with them." He took everything to this higher level because he needed them to see that they could not get to God on their own. They needed a Savior. And the only way to perfection, and the only way to imitate a holy God is for us as people, as humans, sinful humans, to fall flat on our face in all of our sin and cry out for a Savior, to cry out for Jesus. It is the only way, it is only through Christ that we can actually become clean. It is only through Christ that sin can be defeated. And we're saying about this today. It is only because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that he died for us, he rose from the grave. And if we place our trust and faith in him, that is the only way that we can ever be clean. You could spend the rest of your life on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble. You can spend the rest of your life and never read all the self-help books that are out there, trying to figure out ways to better your life, trying to figure out ways to be a good person, trying to figure out ways to not be angry and to have a better marriage and to lose weight and to think good thoughts. You can spend the rest of your life and you will never, ever accomplish it. You will never be perfect. You will never be holy. You have to give up that stuff and turn to Jesus Christ. You have to fall on your face saying, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. I need a Savior. It is only through Jesus Christ that we could ever imitate a holy God. And this is where we start today. This is where we look in chapter 5, these first two verses, as we think about what it means to imitate a holy God. Let's read those two verses together. Look in your Bible. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. These are the two verses we're going to look at today. These verses don't need to intimidate us if we've placed our trust in Jesus Christ. Through Christ, we can imitate God and we can walk in love. And so the main idea, really, of these two verses is this, that we are to imitate God just as Christ did, and we are to walk in love, living a life of sacrifice to God. So we're going to look at two things today. What does it mean to imitate God, and what does it mean to walk in love? So let's look at verse 1, imitating God. So Paul, right at the start of chapter 5, he says this, therefore, be imitators of God. Now, we look at words as we move through an entire text, and we see that word therefore, and what that does is refer us back to what we just talked about, okay? Last week, Cody finished up chapter 4, and we are to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. As God in Christ forgave you, we are not to sin in our anger. We are to be truth-tellers. We are truth-tellers. We're not to steal. We are not to let any corrupt talk out of our mouth. And then Paul says, therefore, all that stuff, therefore, be imitators of God. And what we see here is we need to understand that imitating God and walking in love go hand in hand. Remember what Paul told us in chapter 4, verse 1. He said, live a life worthy of the walk. Live your life worthy of the calling that you have in Christ Jesus. The way we live our lives as believers, I'm talking to believers, the way we live our lives is a testimony to what Christ has done in our lives. Our lives should be characterized by the love of Christ. And we say this a lot. Our lives should look different than those of a lost person. Okay, you guys heard that phrase? We said that. Our lives as Christians, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, your life should look different than that of a lost person. Okay, now, does this make sense? Sometimes we say things and maybe you're not grasping some of what we're trying to say because we use religious phrases or Southern Baptist phrases or something. But what does this mean? It does not mean that we don't drive a similar car like a lost person. It doesn't mean that we don't go to the same grocery store or eat at the same restaurant or have the same running shoes. Oh my goodness, he's lost. I got to go get New Balance and not Nike. That's not what this is talking about. We're talking about our hearts, the way we treat people, the things that we talk about, the hope that we have, the things that we watch or we don't watch, how we forgive others, the way we talk about people, the things that we post on Facebook or Twitter, or the things that we stick out there about our lives, the way that we stand for the truth of God's word, who we associate, the things that we don't associate with, these are the things that should be different because of what Christ has done in our lives. And when we say we shouldn't look like the world, we shouldn't have the same language, the same negative, disgusting, filthy stuff coming out of our mouths that a lost person has if we've truly been changed by Christ. We should be able to forgive our spouses and our children when something happens in our family. We should be able to love people differently because of what Christ has done in our life. We should be characterized by the love of Christ. Paul is pleading with us as believers. He was pleading with the church at Ephesus to be imitators of God. That Greek word for imitate is the word we get for mimic. That we mimic something, that we mimic the characteristics of God, that we do exactly the things that God does, the things that we see in God's word. We look at the life of Christ and the way he lived, and we allow the Holy Spirit to renew our minds and to change our hearts to become more like Christ. Our lives as Christians should be to reproduce the godliness of the person of Jesus Christ. Again, we can't do it on our own without Jesus. He sends the great helper, the Holy Spirit, who then matures us, sanctifies us. We partner with the Holy Spirit by reading our Bibles every day, by studying God's word, by praying and spending time with God, by gathering together with other believers, worshiping Him, holding each other accountable, talking to each other about the things of God. And we grow and become more like Christ. I want to read you three different passages that talk about our need and what Christ does in us as we change to become more like Him. Romans 8:29. These will be on the screen if you want to write these in your notes. Romans 8:29 says this: "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." We are to be conformed to the image of Jesus. When we accept Christ, we then are conformed to the image of Jesus. 1 John 3:2. "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." This idea is that we are becoming more and more like Christ. Now, on this earth, on this broken, sinful earth, we will never completely become perfect like Christ. We continue to battle sin. We just read about that in chapter 4. We continue to go to our closet, and we have to make a choice to put on our new self and put off our old sinful self. And we continue to allow the Holy Spirit to grow us and mature us to become more and more like Christ. But we will become like Him someday when we are with Him in eternity. And then 1 Peter 1:14-16. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" We as believers are to be imitators of a holy God because we carry the name of Christ. When you say, "I am a Christian," you carry the name of Jesus Christ. Your life should look different because it is different if you're a believer. You say, "I am a Christian," you are carrying the name of Jesus Christ. I told you a few months ago the story of Alexander the Great, who in one of his armies found out that there was a coward who had the same name as him, who carried the same name as Alexander. And Alexander went to that army and he found that man and he said this: "Renounce your cowardice or renounce your name." He said, "If you're going to carry my name, you better not be a coward." We as Christians carry the name of Jesus Christ. Yet sometimes we carry that name and then we live filthy lives. We let things come out of our mouths that other people hear that are not Christians or that are Christians, and they say, "I thought you were a Christian." Remember, it's the heart. The way we talk, the way we love people, the way we forgive others, the things that we say and how we encourage, the things we think about. Believers carry the name of Jesus Christ. We are to be imitators of a holy God. But remember, I keep bringing this up, remember, we in ourselves can't be perfect. It is only Christ in us. We are dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, maturing us, sanctifying us. We know that we will never reach perfection on this broken, sinful world. But while we are here, we are to grow. We are to mature. We are to become more like Christ every day. We are to renew our minds daily in God's truth, imitating the holiness of God. And again, let me remind you, I don't have time to give you a 10-step list of how to be holy or how to not be angry or not to sin in your anger or how to think pure thoughts, but let me give you that starting point right here. This is your starting point. Spend time every day in God's Word, because God's Word will give you what you need. The power of the Holy Spirit in you, Christ in you, and then if you are renewing your mind daily by studying God's Word, you will know the truth. You will know what it says about how to talk. You will know what it says about how to live your life. And you will find that wisdom. You will find that conviction. You will find that encouragement in those hard times. Renew your mind daily. grow, mature, imitate the holiness of God? How will you imitate the holiness of God if you don't know what the truth of God's word is? You got to know it. And the Holy Spirit will help you understand it. The Holy Spirit will give you the strength to fulfill that in your life. So therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And then how we do this, one of the ways that we do this, that what Paul brings up is that we do this by walking in love. Walking in love. Verse 2. And walk in love as Christ loved and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. If we are to imitate God, and we do this by walking in love, how do we truly walk in love? Pretty simple. We look at the pattern of Christ's life. We look to the person of Jesus Christ. How are we to walk in love? We look to Jesus. Did you guys ever do dot to dot? Did you ever trace something? Did you ever paint by numbers? Anything that where you were finished and you said, look at how good of an artist I am. You know what though? It's kind of cheating, but it's also a learning process. That's how we learn, by tracing something. That's how we learn to draw an airplane. By painting by numbers, how we learn to put different colors together. If we are to walk in love, we need to learn by following the pattern of the person of Jesus Christ. And if we can allow the rest of verse 2 to sink into our lives, if we can live out our lives like Christ lived his, then through Christ we can begin to imitate the King of Kings, a holy God. If we are to imitate Christ, if we are to learn to walk in love, then we need to look at the second half of verse 2. Because walking in love is all summed up by what Christ did for us. Okay, if we're to walk in love, then we need to really understand that true love was what Christ did for us on the cross. Does that make sense? Ultimate sacrifice, ultimate love, to lay down his life for us. As Christ loved us, okay, there it is. Christ loved us, and then right before that, we are to walk in love. Okay, so how do I walk in love? To look at the pattern of Jesus Christ's life. What did Christ do to love us? He gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This kind of love, this goes way beyond the surface. It goes way beyond feeling. It goes way beyond emotion. The love that Christ had for us, that he showed for us on the cross, is unconditional. It is a love that drove him to his death. Look at Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see where we're getting at this? Paul says, be imitators of God. Be imitators of a holy, perfect God. Walk in love. How do we walk in love? We look to the ultimate example of love, which is Jesus Christ. How did Jesus Christ love us? While we were still sinners, he did what for us? He died for us. Christ's love is forgiving. It is unconditional. It is self-sacrificing. I want to tell you something today. I want you to hear something. Children, adults, teenagers, hear these words. God loves you. He loves you. I mean, that verse should bring hope. While you were still sinners, God loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for you. God loves you. No matter what junk is in your life, you walk in that door, you hate God, you hate the church, you hate something, God loves you. You walk in that door as a Christian that's been a Christian all your life, yet you're still struggling with some habitual sin, guess what? God loves you. Through Jesus Christ, you can be forgiven. If we are to imitate God, if we are to walk in love, then we need to understand what it means to be loved by God. And God loves you so much that he died for you. I can't make that sink in. I'm praying right now that the Holy Spirit will let that penetrate your heart this morning, that you will understand that God truly loves you. And that love for God will bring you to your knees, realizing that you can't do this on your own and that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. I read a quote this week from an anonymous person that said, "The love of God is like the Amazon River flowing down to water one daisy, rushing down, pouring over that one little flower, your life." That's how big God's love is. The famous author, theologian C.S. Lewis said this, "On the whole, God's love for us is a much safer subject to think about than our love for him." God loves you. God's love is perfect. God's love is unconditional. There was a man who was single, and he had a friend who was a father of four children, and he came up to the father, and he just asked a simple question one day. He said, why do you love your kids? And the man with four children stopped, and he had to think about that for a moment. And he could only come up with one answer, and he said this, "Because they're mine. They're mine." His children had no need to do anything to prove themselves to their father. He took them just as they were because they're his. And that's the way God's love is for us. He loves us just as we are. And it is his love that then motivates us as his children to live for him, to imitate him, to obey him in return. Understanding this love, the love of Christ, giving himself up for us, this will motivate us to imitate him and motivate us to walk in love the way Christ gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. God loves us, but we also need to understand this, that sin is repulsive to God. God is holy. Sin is repulsive to God. And so when Christ bore our sins on the cross, God could not even look at his own son because sin was repulsive and is repulsive to God. Christ himself cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because his father couldn't look at his son. But then when God raised Christ from the dead, Jesus, the sacrifice, became the sacrifice that conquered sin. And in this incredible sacrifice, this ultimate act of love became a beautiful aroma to God, this beautiful fragrance to God. And so when we read these verses, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. We are God's children if we've placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior of life. We become children of God. We are to imitate him as his children. How do we do this? We walk in love. Well, how do we know how to walk in love? We look to Jesus Christ as our example, as our pattern, and he gave himself up for us, the ultimate example of love, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And when we believers comprehend God's love for us, his forgiveness, his salvation through Christ, and then we begin to live our lives imitating him, pleasing him, we also please God with a beautiful aroma. My question is this: do you know Jesus Christ? If you came in here this morning not really caring about Jesus, maybe you came in this morning and you're pretty religious. Maybe you've just gone your whole life going to church but never really felt connected to Christ. Never, you just feel distance from him. Maybe it's because you need a Savior. You need a personal relationship with Jesus. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you read these verses, be imitators of God, and in your mind you're going, oh my goodness, I am so far from doing that. I know Jesus, but man, there are some areas of my life that I am not walking in love. I am not imitating Christ. Maybe this morning it's time to repent. It's time to confess. It's time to say, God, I want to imitate you. I need Christ in me. Maybe it's time to say, I need a Savior. Maybe it's time to just to say, I've got to get rid of this junk. And it is only through Christ's forgiveness that I can have victory over this sin in my life. Don't you want to be a person, a Christian, a believer that carries the name of Christ, that when people look at your life, they don't see perfection because that's not possible, but they do see someone who loves Jesus and is trying desperately to please him? And don't you want to be a person that carries the name of Jesus Christ, that has the characteristics of the love of Christ in your life, and that is a beautiful fragrance to God, a beautiful aroma to him? Would you stand with us this morning? Let's pray together. And I want to give you an opportunity to come this morning to repent. I want to give you an opportunity to come and confess of your sins. I want to give you an opportunity to come and receive Christ this morning. I want to give you the time to come and kneel at the front and say, Christ, I want to be an imitator of you. I'm tired of playing the game. We're going to sing a song. We're going to stand. We're going to sing together. Use this time to get your heart focused on Jesus. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for the power of your word. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, walking in love, just as Christ did. He gave himself up for us, a fragrance that's beautiful to you. God, thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would move on this place. I pray that you would save lives this morning. I pray that you would convict lives this morning. I pray that our church, as a church family, that there would be a fragrance and aroma coming from this place, spreading into these neighborhoods, into our workplaces, into our families, that is pleasing and beautiful, a beautiful aroma to you, God. I know every one of us in this room has areas of their life that we need to kill, sin that needs to be killed. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. It's in Christ's name that we pray.